Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi. Have you ever seen Wayne's World?
Yeah, like a long time ago.
A long time ago. I'm trying to think of what it is, but they're like 5, 4, and then they just gesture 3, 2, 1 and like point and go, and they like cannot get it right.
I think I kind of remember that, actually. Oh, now, right, like right now?
Right now, we're recording. No, hi, we're recording. And this is where we pretend like we haven't just been talking for like 45 minutes. What's up? What's new? How are you today?
I know. Okay. So today, it's a beautiful day here in Virginia. And I took your lead. You put like this clear like birdhouse on your windows like a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so cool. And so I bought some and I have them on my windows in my living room on both sides. And it's been so awesome to like see the birds come up like really close to the action. The kids have been loving it. So yeah, that's what's going on with me. Like it's amazing. I love just like seeing nature, being out in nature, just feeling really connected.
I love the clear birdhouse. It's so cool. I need to refill it now that I think about it. Our cats just sit and stare at it pretty much all day long. And our cat Ollie. So our cats are not very smart as far as cats go. But Ollie, he's obsessed. He'll just like sit and watch it all day. And sometimes when a bird comes, he'll jump and just smack himself into the window and then fall down.
You're like, dude, it's like not, you can't actually get to it.
Every time we're just like, oh man, poor Ollie. So yeah, those are so cool, and like seeing the birds up so close, and I need to get like a little book or a chart or something and start marking them off. But yeah, I think we're both in our bird watching eras right now, and I'm loving it.
Yes, I'm feeling it, especially like from the comfort of our own home. Like we have like a bird feeder on our tree, like we have hundreds of trees here, but we have a main tree in the middle of our front yard that was here when my parents first moved into this house. Fun fact, I took over my childhood home. And like we've been seeing like so many different things, like the popular ones, right? Like the cardinals and the blue jays and the woodpeckers and all of the different birds. And so I think you're right, Lauren. I would love to find like some type of chart, maybe a book, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like also to like get Macy some binoculars, probably Daniel too, because he'd probably really dig this as well. And actually like go out and like find all the different species. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. We have binoculars and Gemma loves to use them all the time, but she actually doesn't really know what they're for or how to use them.
I was going to say, does she know how to use them? Because Macy, no. You know, those like little like things you look in, what are they called?
Like a scope?
Yeah, like a scope, but mm-hmm. It has like the cut out angles and you just put it.
Oh, a kaleidoscope?
A kaleidoscope, yes. She like doesn't know like how to do it yet. And I'm like, Macy, you got to like put your eye in there. And she's like, but mommy, I don't see anything yet. So I'm like, all right, well, we don't get it yet. So I'm like, I think the binoculars will be cool. Both eyes have to go on it. Like she has like this little camera that she has, mm-hmm. but she doesn't still know to like put her eye in the eye hole. She just holds it out. I'm like, well, when she really gets a real camera, like it'll like be a fancy smart one, it'll do most of the stuff for her anyway. By the time
she'll never have to learn how to look through a tiny hole.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, how about you, Lauren? How's it going for you?
You know, it's so good. It's warm here and we've been doing family kayaking. which has been awesome. And it just feels so good. I forget in the winter how, I don't know, just like kind of closed up. And it's all good. It's part of the season, right? Just feeling so inward and like not going outside as much. But now that it's warm, like we don't want to be inside. We get to play and it just feels good. Feels like spring.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah. And getting Gemma outside, I'm like, please let's be outside all day long because it's hard to entertain little ones inside all day, you know?
Yeah, especially like not putting them in front of, I don't know about you, but like you can put the TV on, but they don't like always stay. They don't want to
No.
be in front of a screen anyway. So I'm like, you know what? That's cool. Let's go out. We have our back deck. We have all of this land. So we will probably be doing a lot more family hikes here soon, which I'm loving, because it just gets us out and the time goes by so fast. And I get to like show Macy, right? Like Miles is out there observing, but I get to show Macy like all the d little different things and the little animals and like all these little signs of like life all around us. And it's really, really nice to connect that way. And also too, when I take Miles outside, like it's like this immediate like calm, quiet. He's just perfectly fine being out in the elements. So that says something.
Yeah, I remember like when Gemma was just a couple weeks old or a few weeks old, she was going through a phase where like a certain time each night she would just start crying and it was really hard to get her to stop and it would last for like a couple of hours. And people would always say like get them in water or put them outside. And it was like, I don't know, 0 degrees outside because it was December or January and she hated being in water.
That didn't work.
Which she likes now, but I'm like, what do I do? So I would just sit on a ball and bounce and sing Hey Jude for like hours or chant Om. I would chant Om. And I think it helped some, but I don't know. It was mostly just about getting through it, I think.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as you become a mom, there are all these tests all of a sudden.
Well, I think that's like the baby stage. I mean, I'm still trying to get through things. Macy's four, right? We're still trying to get through some things, but like that communication barrier that's up because your babies don't like they can't they can express, right? But they only have like a few modes of expression. Like really getting through that and like learning. And I think too, like in those moments, it's a way for like not only us to connect with our kiddos, but like ourselves too, because I know like there are thoughts running in your mind, stories you're telling yourself, and our kids, I believe like fully are like supposed to be like our biggest mirrors and like allow us like either get through, grow through, or like sometimes put up walls, and some people do, you know, during this time, but
Yeah, I also think it's things like that are so hard, almost in a way, because there is so much information now. There are books and blogs and Instagram pages, and when anything happens, it's easy to like get on the phone and Google it and figure out what's going on. When I don't want to say I have any regrets, but because I don't think it took me that long, but I kind of wish from the beginning that I would have been able to just trust my intuition as far as she went, and I don't know, kind of cut out the noise.
In our day and age, it's really hard to, and it's like it's so true. It's very true. I know with Macy in the beginning, I was all about the Google, even though like I know Google's not the best thing, right? Like you get in this like spiral mindset. But if you decide to, if not, but you will know going forward, your intuition is like always the best. Like now with Miles, like I don't even worry about him if I see a running nose. I'm like, all right, he's good. We're good. Everything's fine, right? Like even if he's been sick for a while, I remember he was sick for like 2 weeks, just not really, like, really getting over things. And with Macy, like the fourth day, I was like all about a doctor's appointment, right? But this go around, I'm like, well, Am I hydrating him? Am I doing all the things that I know that I can do within my physical power? Right, he's fine. Until my mom talks me into he could have bronchitis, and I take him in and they're saying he's fine. But I feel like our it's with anything, right? Like our intuition when we get online, especially becoming like these really spiritual beings, like our intuition like activates. And you probably knew that for yourself, like in your personal life, but like this is a whole new being. This is a whole new person. And yes, they're a part of you, but like relying on our intuition still, we're like, is this right? Am I doing the right thing? But you got it. You do.
Yeah. Well, and like, with Miles, he's your second, so he gets to benefit from the wisdom that you've gained.
Yes,
It's
he does. He does.
like,
I have definitely been like, you know what? He's good. I feel it. Like I'm more like in my body with him, not so much in my mind and like spiraling thoughts, but just like really having this sense of like, is he good? Yeah, he's good.
Well, that's a good segue into what we have decided to talk about today, which is spiritual awakening. It's a topic that I hear about a lot. It's like a huge hashtag on Instagram, spiritual awakening. And I'll hear people say, like, oh, since my spiritual awakening, I've done this. But I wanted to hear definitely more about yours because I know that it happened after you had Mesiana, and that you went through like a personal development phase and then like some more self-awareness stuff like that. But I haven't actually ever heard the story of like your awakening. And I don't feel like personally I had an awakening. I've had like moments where my mind is open more or something like that. So I'm really curious to hear about what that was like for you and what
Yeah.
happened.
Well, yeah, I feel like I'm excited to share for one. Mine, and I can't really give you timelines because it's just pre-birth of Macy and everything after, right? But everything like runs together. But you are absolutely correct, Lauren. When I think about my spiritual awakening, it was like a process almost. It wasn't like this like one thing that happened and I was like woke. After Macy, I had been invited to it was like a retreat. I went to this retreat. It was a friend's retreat, and I had no idea what it was about. Like that's like my personality. You're like, invite me to something, you're a cool person. I'm like, sure, cool, we're good. But she had this book that was centered around the retreat, and that was like my first like really experience like getting into like having a reading with her cards. She had oracle cards, and like on Sunday we had like this day of silence type of thing. Like we had like these circles and like this ceremony, and it was like so beautiful, and I felt so connected, and I was like, man, like people do this thing. So, but before that, I was having this like awareness that, what am I doing? Like, who am I really? And I got into the personal development field or, area. I was really like really big on all the big names, like really trying to like be the best version of myself, not just mentally, but like physically, and really just trying to like find my thing. And that was also the pursuit of my dharma, and I didn't know that like that's what I was doing. But I came to a point with, the working out and the personal development. It was like, okay, like, is this it? I had lost 30 pounds. I felt really good about myself. I was going like these major conferences, and I just felt like really high off that energy of a conference. And then when I would come home and like put it into practice, it's like, okay, but what else? Like what am I really doing? Like, is this all there is to life right now for me? And I was, really blessed because Daniel had no problem like letting me go and figure things out and hold on to Macy while I try to do all of those things. But I want to say there came a moment after that retreat that I really started questioning like my religion and like really like looking deep at it and all the things that just I did not like that I'd never really looked at. I feel like, I was a Christian, grew up Baptist for a long time, and I went to non-denominational places because I didn't really associate much with the Baptist style. But I never really like thought about what it was that I did not like about, deeming myself Christianity or what I've been exposed to within that. There were things that I agreed with and things that I did not. And so after like sitting with that, talking through that with Daniel, I felt like really lost. I felt like part of my identity was stripped away. And I really didn't like know who I was or what my beliefs were or like what I was about. And I would say I had this like moment of like finding out like what spirituality is and like trying to figure out, okay, I am a spiritual person, like I do believe in something higher and greater than myself, or that I am a part of something higher and greater. But what does that like really look like? I was always like looking for someone to tell me like what this thing was. And after, taking some time and trying to figure out like certain rituals or certain like beliefs, or am I into like this type of religion or that, I just had this like breakdown moment. I remember putting Macy down. I remember going, headed to bed. It was one of the nights that Dana was, working late. And I was home by myself with Macy. Obviously, I put her down and I just said, I don't know what you want from me. Like, how can I just feel so low and so alone? And I have everything I could ever need. I have everything. I have an awesome husband. I have a beautiful daughter. I have a roof over my head. I have the clothes. I have the house. I need nothing. But yet, I feel so lonely. I'm so lost. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do you want from me? And I don't even know who I was talking to because at that point it wasn't God, right? My version of God was gone. And I was like, just show me a sign. Like, just show me a sign that I'm just like not making stuff up, or I'm just not doing the wrong thing, or that I'm re renounce my religion and I'm not going to go to hell for this. Like, just show me a sign. And I didn't know even know who I was talking to, right? So I remember going to bed that night, and Lauren, I had this dream, and I could share a little bit about it. Like it was almost like an end of the world type dream, almost. It was like an end of the world type dream, and I remember there were certain parts in this dream, but I'll pick out the big ones. I was there telling people that this event was about to happen and that we all needed to like get somewhere to be together, like all of us collectively. And I still remember in this dream that there were like certain people who just didn't believe or were non-believers of this event that was happening to the earth, that we were no longer going to be together. And near the end of this dream, I remember us being in like the stadium type of place, and me sitting with my daughter on my lap, and really like just sharing with her, like, I'm really sorry you didn't get to live this physical life. It's been a beautiful life, and a bunch of things else were said. But in that moment, we were all in this like big stadium area, and a flashing light, and like that was like the moment, the end moment of the earth. But I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel sadness or anger or anything. And it was this moment of like darkness. I had this like awareness of myself, not my body, but of myself, like who I am, like my being. And then what was amazing is I started having like awareness of other beings. And I felt like my daughter's energy and my husband's energy, and something like whispered, like, you are not alone. This is exactly where you're supposed to be, and this is who you are. And when I woke up, first of all, I was like reeling because I never dream in vivid, like, or even like remember like all of it like that. I had to like write it all down because I didn't want to forget. And I still remember, I just didn't want to go through the whole thing here. But in that moment, I was like, holy shit. If that was the sign, I see it. I feel it. And in that moment, that was like the real moment where, you know how when we say like we are not our thoughts, we are the observer of our thoughts. That was the moment like where it really like clicked for me that I am more than this, like these things that are racing through my mind. I am more than just my physical body. My physical body is how I can express things on this physical plane, but I am so much more than that. And that was just like this like opening of like who I am and who I am now today and who I'm becoming. And that right there, the process getting to that moment, getting that sign, I would say is was my spiritual awakening.
Wow, that's such an incredible story, and just it's amazing that you asked for that and that's what you received, because it's like the universe is like, can I get any more clear?
And when I think back on it, like there were signs, like there were things, but we always like question, ourselves when we step out of like the way we used to do things, or when we are going against the grain, we always question it. And my intuition wasn't, I mean, I've always been a very intuitive person, but I didn't realize that that's what it was. Now I'm like fully stepping into my intuitive parts. And when I know I have this knowing, like I know, like this is me and this is okay. Right. But when we're newly like getting out of that, we're just always second guessing and always wondering. And I think like it's our soul having this like recalibration, really. Like that low moment, I think that was like me fully stripping away all of those past things and my soul saying, okay, this is our time to like really be, and we're gonna be, and we're gonna leave all this bullshit. And source is gonna give you the sign that you're asking for, as loud as can be, and like no excuses afterwards. Like we're gonna do this thing. And then shortly after that is when I found Discover Your Dharma and like really started like stepping into all like it just all the things just started clicking after that one thing.
I feel like I have so many questions. I'll start with this. So you were, I guess, like 30 something, right? When you kind of let's say lost your faith or stopped believing like in Christianity. Was that like the first time you questioned it over your whole life? And like what was it? Like, was there something happening in the world, or was it something happening like in your life or your family that made you start questioning? Because that's like such a huge thing to let go of, from personal experience. And really, it can, I totally relate with what you're saying too, in that like grieving process and feeling like kind of an emptiness once you stop believing, because it's so like when you believe in Christianity and maybe like, I don't know, there's so many different forms of it, right? And different churches that seem to like believe different parts of the Bible and stuff, but it's just it's indoctrination. It becomes like such a part of who you are and what you believe and how you see the world. So letting go of that is like a huge shakeup. Like, what caused that for you?
I couldn't say that one particular thing happened. I had always questioned, even when I was younger, and I also got shot down a lot, around my questions. Not in like a shut up type of way, but just like a more of like beating around the bush, giving me an answer that was supposed to appease me type of deal. And I was really big into like when I went to church, went to a service. I think we talked about this before. I was really connected with the singing aspect. That's when I felt my most connected with the divine. And like I would listen to the sermons and stuff like that, and I would feel some type of way, maybe, but it never really like connected with me. It never really clicked. And so when Daniel and I moved here to the country, we hadn't found a church family, and we were looking, but nothing just like felt good. And I wasn't just gonna go to church just to go to church and be around people just to be around people. I just really wanted like a home, a religious home, and I just hadn't found it yet. So I think because of that, because we were always active in the church before we moved from Richmond, and because of that, it created space for me to actually like sit with my thoughts and like question things. And my grandmother, I love her to death. She's like a little nomad. She like comes here for 3 months and stays with my mom for 3 months and goes to her other people for 3 months. And like we'll sit here and we'll have like these conversations. And she like is on the, she has meetings every week or whatever with our church, and there'll be certain things that I hear or like something in the sermon that's said, and it just like would always like trigger me to like think about certain things. And yeah, I just felt like when I thought about it, like when I ended up like truly thinking about it, I can say, oh, it didn't resonate with me, but I just felt, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but it felt manufactured. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, I can't describe it any better way than that, but it just felt manufactured, and it just did not feel good in my body anymore to like associate myself with that, especially because I would see people who would, and I know this is for everybody, but call them, and this is even in the spiritual space, but would call themselves that, or and just like act a certain way. And then when I found out about like different books that never made it into the Bible, and just like how women were betrayed, or just how things were, it just didn't feel good to me anymore. It really didn't. So I just felt like I had to like let it go. And when I talked to Daniel, he had kind of been feeling the same way, which was weird and awesome at the same time. So it wasn't like we were gonna have this like odd dynamic about, the church. We just decided we were gonna let that go, but we're open, right? We're not gonna tell Macy, she can't go to church. My mom still goes to the church here. And if she wants to take Macy, okay. We're gonna expose her to all the things, all the religions, because it's up to her to choose like what she wants for her life. So, yeah, I don't denounce anybody's anything. Just for me, it's not resonating for me anymore being a Christian.
I don't think it sounds like you're judging anybody. You're just talking about your own experience. I wanted to ask when, yeah, I suppose your faith changed and started falling away. One, it's amazing that Daniel is going through the same thing. So I'm sure in a way that made it a little bit easier, but how was it with like family or friends? Was it like something that you had to tell them, or was it just kind of a natural falling away?
Yeah, for me, it was a natural falling away. And I also think, too, because we had moved previously and prior away, like from where we had been, where our root, quote unquote, roots were, it was a lot easier to just naturally shift into our way of being now.
Well, that's really nice that it was an easy transition for you. I'd also love to know, so before the awakening and before you got into personal development, I'm assuming you felt like at a real low, because I think you have to feel some type of way to start seeking, wanting to feel better, right? To look into wellness, to look into like mindset, to find teachers. Where were you right before you got into personal development? And was there like one thing that made you decide to like, I don't know, what did you do first? Like read a book or find a teacher? Because I find that a lot of people like want to change their lives and they're not happy with their lives, but they never really like take the steps to do it. So I have a lot of interest in like what gave you the momentum or the motivation to like take the first step.
Yeah, I would have to say, I always talk about like Macy was my catalyst. She was what pushed me onto this path. I would say being home, not working, and really just not really having much to do creates a lot of space for you to like think about your life and where you are, where you're going. I decided I didn't want to go back to corporate, but I don't just want to be a completely like stay-at-home mom doing massages on the side. Like that's not who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And I just had the time, I guess, Lauren. For me, I know it's going to be different for everyone, but I just had the time to like really evaluate like my habits and like what I was doing and why I was doing it. And so what book did I start with? Maybe it was a Mel Robbins book, I believe.
How did you find it?
So I had started working part-time for a chiropractor and we were listening to, I can't remember his name, but someone in personal development, and it started feeling like really good. Like it was work stuff, but it started feeling like really good to like talk about like mindset, right? And I was like, okay, this feels pretty good. And so after, I stopped working for them, I just like continued like diving in and getting into it. I went to conferences. I read Rachel Hollis's book, Girl, Stop Apologizing, and that like lit a fire in me. And I went to like one of her conferences in Canada, in Toronto, and that was like amazing. I brought Macy with me to Canada, and yeah, I just like this feeling of like, okay, like if I really wanted to, I could like really shift. Like if I wanted to, do I want it enough? And I would come home and there'd be like these bouts of like these waves almost. And so I started seeking like mom groups, and like I got really involved in a mom group, a mom fitness group really, that we found each other from Rachel Hollis. And these ladies were amazing, and we, worked out. We had challenges together. We did all the things. And so I would say for me, one of the biggest things is has always been like that support piece. Knowing that you're not alone, because if you do have to do it for yourself, but when you know other people are counting on you, like even the movement part, like I wasn't used to moving my body every day. So you go from that to, okay, how am I going to start moving my body every day? How am I going to like really create this change? And for me, I'm in this challenge with these women, and it could be something like, all right, we're all going to like work out 15 minutes or get like 7 miles in a week or just something crazy. It was always different every single month. And I would be like, oh, I don't want to let them down. I don't want to, like, we had a sheet and everything. Like you had to input your stuff in there. And I don't want to be the one with the zero. So I made sure I did it. And I just like, had them to help me form this habit for myself. And then once I realized, oh, I got this mom thing down, I can move my body every day. I can do this. Like I wanted it. Like I craved it. And then it was like I craved more, like the professional side, the who I am side. Like it's not just, me sitting here losing the weight, working my body. Like what else? Like what else can I do? Like what else am I about? Like how connected can I be? And that was the major piece for me, was I want to be connected, and not just like online connected, but like just in my community. What can I do besides massage that's going to allow me to be connected? But that was, yeah, that was kind of how I got from there to here a bit.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's amazing that you had the exposure, to find what you needed to find, and then were able to get the support. And it's very cool that, these communities develop around mindset and around specific ideals, and even around like teachers, where you can take the work and really expand on that. And I do think like that personal development piece is such an important part of the journey, because it's something that you really can't bypass. If you go from like trauma, upset, lost, depressed to like just spiritual after that, like you're missing the body piece,
Yes.
and you're missing the mind, and you're missing all these different components that make you you. And that's why I think you see a lot of like ungrounded spiritual people who aren't truly happy, or who aren't like truly addressing what they need to address. But I think like that the holistic approach that you had, like it locks you into to purpose, where you're able to like affect positive change because you're in touch with all these different aspects of who you are. I'd love to know, like, after your awakening, how did your life change, and like, was it easeful? Were you kind of like WTF? Like, what was that process like?
Yeah, I want to say it wasn't like super crazy or anything like that. I remember after my like leading up to this point in that dream, and like that like big wake up call that I am so much more than I perceive myself to be, and I am and nothing at all at the same time type of feeling. I remember talking to Daniel about it. And I think this is like the one moment that he was like, "What the fuck is she talking about? Where, what?"
Like,
I
did
just
she just
remember,
break from reality?
yeah, like what are we? Okay, and I love him so much because he like is always there for me, even when he doesn't understand. He just like knows, like, okay, this is her, and I'm here for it, and I will support her however she sees that she needs that support. So yeah, after I talked with Daniel about my dream and what that meant for me, and like just really like unloading all of that, like I felt this like sense of like ease. But it was like one of those things, it almost felt natural in a way, because I had already like decided I no longer am associating with this type of religion. I'm very open to the possibilities of anything and everything. I received that sign, and incorporating things into my life just seemed really like easy and easeful. And I would have to say, like, having Daniel and Macy being so young, my mom also being open, whether she understood what I was doing or not. Like, I have an altar here in my living room, and like, we don't put stuff on it. Like, this is our family altar, and this is what we do. And I have like little statuettes of Gaia and all the things, like, I wasn't judged at all. I started incorporating practices and rituals. I joined a divine feminine mystery school to like really dig in and, get more knowledge and wisdom around everything, being more it. Honestly, Lauren, I feel like spirituality can be all of this and this grand thing, but when I started like really getting into like me after the spiritual awakening, it just returned me back to myself, returned me back to like my thought process, like who I was, what I wanted to be in the world, connected me back to my physical presence, and also like the presence of the earth, the seasons, the cycles, just being like this interconnectedness. Like it really just made it so easy. And maybe because I didn't like put it on blast, right? I didn't just tell every single person like this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. I didn't feel the need for that. I transitioned it like with my grandmother that comes from time to time, and my mom, like we would have conversations and all these different things. Like it felt really natural and really easy. And I just allowed myself to just be who I was and wanted to be. And just have more presence and thought about the things and the actions that I was doing on a day-to-day basis. Whereas before, I just kind of went through the motions. And then now just having that like intention behind the things.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that whole story. I've kind of always wanted to go into more detail. I was thinking it's just amazing like how many hours, on and off the pod that we have talked and like how much there still is to learn about you. But I guess that's what happens when you rack up like 30 plus years in a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot to me. I keep to myself usually, being able to share this in a big way is a little bit different, but I don't know. I really felt like we all come to these moments in time, and they don't have to be like this screaming at you, vivid dream type of moment, but sometimes we all come to lows, and I know sometimes when you go through like spiritual awakening, your dark night of the soul, like you do hit like rock bottom. But rock bottom to me wasn't like this, I don't want to say like grand gesture of a rock bottom. Like it was more like really like this internal conflict that I decided to sit with. I decided to sit with and like really evaluate what it was. And that was like really part of my journey, and everyone's is different. Like I know you said you didn't really have a spiritual awakening, but I'm pretty sure there were like little things along the way for you that led you to where you are.
Yeah, there have definitely been like moments for sure where my perception has changed. And that's always a wild thing, right? When you see the world one way and then suddenly you see the world one other way or a different way. And maybe it happens in a matter of seconds or days or years. So I certainly have. I don't think we can get like fully into my different experiences today, just time-wise, but I'd love to chat about it again. I would love to know, like, based on your own experience, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's maybe in the middle of a spiritual awakening right now? Maybe the start of it, the middle, toward the end. I don't know why I just made that distinction, but someone who's going through like this big perception shift and figuring out who they are, how can they get through this time?
Yeah, I would say I know that in general, when people are having spiritual awakenings, it's a very lonely place to be. And I know my situation was a little different because I did have a partner, but I feel like one of the biggest things, and this is just from my personal experience, is having some support in this. Whether it be one person becoming part of a spiritual group, like really finding a space where you can be supported in your experiences and being able to like openly talk about things. Like a lot of times when I hear people going through their spiritual awakenings, they don't feel like they could talk about all the things that's coming to them and that they're experiencing and they're feeling in their body, I would recommend having a journal. I know for me, having a journal practice was a game changer to be able to write things down and like go back to it and like really feel into that and like know that you're not crazy. Like you're not crazy. And realize that your experience and how you are opening up to this new perception and this new way of thinking and being is your own journey, and be open to that. Like really like look at what you're feeling in your body and like what's coming up in your thoughts and really like observing it, like really being present in what's happening to allow you to like process everything that's coming through. And again, like I'm big on the support piece. Like, Lauren, if I would have had you like years ago, that would have been amazing, right? But I had the support in the way in which I needed at the time for my journey. So, and don't stop questioning, don't stop seeking the answer. Like, really just be open to the process and know that you are going to come on the other side of this like a different person. And that's ultimately what you wanted and what your soul's helping you to do.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And that the support piece is so important and balanced by hopefully the embodied knowledge, or it becomes embodied, that you are a soul, you're above no one, you're below no one. I think a trap that some people who awaken in a way and who are seeking get into is that they fall into like these hierarchical systems, or communities that really like mirror all of the shadow stuff from religion or government, or you know, all, or even school, like all of these systems that we're used to, and that's how people get like roped into cults and stuff like that. But finding support like through a community where everyone's equal, through teachers who admit to their humanity
Really important.
consistently, and yeah, to not like feel like you have to find exactly what you had before, just in a different package, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's just very different, and that can feel really lonely. Like, okay, I was like part of a church before, and I knew my place, right? And then suddenly I'm not, and like, who am I, and who do I follow? Yeah, that can be really jarring, but it's like the most freeing thing in the world too.
I mean, it really is. And when you come into like your spiritual awakening, you know, you get through that and you are having these moments. Like mine was really like spawned on by like seeking my purpose. And for me to like know that, you know, I'm supposed to like help people in a certain way, I had to like help myself first and break from all of that was, you know. And so if you're like questioning like who am I, where am I in this world, what's going on, like I feel like our spiritual awakening is supposed to like elevate us, our thought process and who we are, to like get to that ultimate, you know, dharma, even though our dharma changes all the time, but it'll you're more open to who you're supposed to be or who you can be. You're more open. So yeah, there's just so much to it, and it looks so different, but the support, knowing that you are not above and below anybody, like we are all here to experience this world and what it has to offer, and we chose to be here. Like I fully believe that that was the one, you know, one of the things that I did not have previously. I mean, I was just here. Like, this is my circumstance. This is how I'm supposed to be. But then what's the point? The point is for us to be here to experience life in this physical way, and but knowing like there's so much more to us and to our existence. And it doesn't have to like be in this like little box of a certain religion. Like it's just, you can open that box and it's just so much more. Do I think that it's, I want to like be clear here. I think that there are places for religion, right? That there are truths within all of it, in my opinion. But I don't think it's like the only truth.
Yeah. Mic drop.
Lauren, thank you so much for asking me about this. It's been awesome to share it with you. I know that we have talked a while and really haven't like dug into this part. There's so many other like deep things that we get into, but this has been pretty cool to share.
There are, and if people are interested, I'm happy to share like some of my life-shifting experiences, I suppose. On a different episode, I do include some of them in my book, which comes out in November. But yeah, there have been, I think, like, I'll say I feel I was born spiritually awake, and I feel like you were too in different ways, but you have these moments that really like change what your relationship is, I guess, to spirit. But yeah, there definitely have been these life-shaking things, and I do wish that my journey out of Christianity was as easeful as yours.
Oh, yeah. How do you want to share a little bit about that?
I will maybe in a future episode, and I certainly don't want to bash anybody, or I don't know. I feel like everyone in my life has been trying to do their best. I truly, truly believe that. And I also think for some people, religion can really serve them in a lot of ways. It's the structure that they need to feel that depth in their lives and to feel the connection with spirit. And especially when you get really deep into it, it can be really hard to see somebody that you love do something different because, like with Christianity, for instance, if you really believe that there's a heaven and a hell and you only go to one or the other, and you think someone that you love is going to hell, like that is absolutely devastating. And that is real to them, you know? So again, not going to get in too deep, but just that's part of my story. I don't share all of it in the book because I just share like little snippets here and there. But I will say, for anyone interested, that my book is available for pre-order now. Yes, and I share lots of these little snippets through the book. And it also, like you're talking about having support, it provides a like structured support system for anybody who has gone through a spiritual awakening or is going through a spiritual awakening or is like spiritually curious to really like travel from the physical body, your roots, your childhood, all the way up to like your connection to spirit. So if you're interested in that, it's called Embody Your Inner Goddess, The Guided Journey to Radical Fullness. We'll talk about it more, I think, on a future episode, and that's maybe when I'll share these awakening stories. But do know it is available for pre-order. You can go to our show notes to see it. It's just at my website, laurenleduc.com, and you can get it through Barnes and Noble or Amazon right now. But yeah, I think have, like hearing Rashida's story, hearing my story, just being able to connect and be honest and be real about these situations is one of the best things that you can do to just normalize this process of awakening and to feel like you're not alone.
And you're not. It takes finding your people if you want to connect, but there are so many people going through the same thing in slightly different way, you
Yeah.
know, all over.
Absolutely. Well, should we wrap it up there today?
Yeah, let's put a pretty little bow on it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your story. Your story is beautiful. And I'm
Thank
so
you.
happy. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm happy everything's happened the way it has so that we are sitting here together right now. How awesome is
Yes. So
that?
awesome. So great.
All right, love. Well, I will talk to you later. See you later, besties.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.